Goedenacht, zuster Emma.
Goedenacht, broeder Cor.
Krachtige stem. Heel veel zegen. Gaat u gang.
Ja, broeder Cor.
Je mag starten, hoor.
Ja, dank u wel, broeder Cor. Ja, lieve luisteraars. Ik groet u allen in de wonderbare naam van onze Heer en Heiland. Onze Heer Jezus Christus. Die is gegeven alle macht in de hemel en op de aarde. Ja, luisteraars, het is tijd voor het Bijbelleesplan. En u weet, het Bijbelleesplan komt van Gospel Radio Zephania, waar onze Heer Jezus Christus centraal staat. We gaan de Heer danken, loven en prijzen. We gaan de Heer zeggen wat Hij voor ons doet. We gaan de Heer loven om zijn machtige, wonderbare naam. Want de Heer is groot en Hij is zeer te prijzen. En daarom zijn er geen grenzen aan zijn macht. Want Hij verlost en Hij bevrijdt. En Hij geneest. En daarom komen wij in zijn naam. Bij allen die het hoort en die het mee, die er mee leest. Vader, we danken voor allen die mee gaan lezen en die gaan luisteren, Vader. Vader, we danken u voor het begin van uw woord, dat u iedereen gaat zegenen, Vader. Want aan uw zegen, Vader, is alles gelegen, Vader. En we bidden ook de bijstand van uw Heilige Geest, mijn Heiland. Vader, deze avond brengen wij ook de ziekenhuizen aan voor uw genade troon, Vader. We brengen ook de presidenten, Vader, voor uw troon, de voorgangers, de gemeentes. En Vader, de doktoren, de medewerkers, de verpleegkundigen, Vader. Alle Vader Jezus Christus. Vader, en de kinderen die naar school gaan, Vader. En alle scholen, Vader, dragen wij aan u op, Vader. De leerkrachten en allemaal, Vader. Vader, we bidden u, Vader Jezus Christus. Want wij weten dat u de uitkomst is, Vader, Vader. Van alles, Vader Jezus. En het antwoord. En daarom leggen wij alles van de wereld voor uw genade troon. En wij danken u, Vader Jezus, ook voor alles. We danken u voor uw woord, Vader. Ga zo in uw woord. En we loven en prijzen uw naam, Vader, voor uw kracht en uw genade. Zegen ook zo broeder Cor en zuster Marlene en hun gezin. Alle gospels programma. Alle bestonden die gehouden worden. Alle leiders van het evangelie, leidinggevende, dragen wij aan u op. We dragen ook de zendingsvelden aan u op, Vader. Dank u wel, Vader. En we prijzen uw naam dat wij dit mogen doen, Vader Jezus, in uw naam. In Jezus' naam. Ja, luisteraars, we gaan beginnen direct met ons Bijbelleesplan. En ons Bijbelleesplan komt uit Jesaja 49. En wij gaan door met 50. Zo, het gaat over tweede profetie aangaande de knecht des Heren, hoofdstuk 49. Hoort naar mij, gij kustlanden, en luister, gij naties in de verte. De Heere heeft mij geroepen. De Heere heeft mij geroepen van moeders lijf aan, van de schoot mijner moeder aan, heeft hij mijn naam vermeld. En hij maakte mijn mond als een scherp zwaard. In de schaduw zijner hand verborg hij mij. Hij maakte mij tot een puntige pijl in zijn pijlkoker. Stak hij mij en hij zeide tot mij: Gij zijt mijn knecht, Israël, in wie ik mij zal verheerlijken. Doch ik zeide: Te vergeefs heb ik mij afgemat, voor niets en vruchteloos mijn kracht verbruikt. Evenwel, mijn recht is bij de Heere en mijn vergelding is bij mijn God. Maar nu zegt de Heere, die mij van de moederschoot aan vormde tot zijn knecht, om Jacob tot hem terug te brengen en om Israël tot hem vergaderen te doen worden. En ik werd geëerd in de ogen des Heeren, en mijn God was mijn sterkte. Hij zegt dan: Het is te gering dat gij mij tot een knecht zou zijn om de stammen van Jacob weder op te richten en de bewaarden van Israël zullen terug te brengen. En ik stel u tot een licht der volken, opdat hetzelfde reken tot het einde der aarde. Opdat mijn heil reken tot het einde der aarde. Zo zegt de Heere, Israëls verlosser, zijn heilige tot de diep verachte, die bij het volk verafschuwde, de knecht van heersers, koningen, zullen dit zien en opstaan en vorsten en zich nederbuigen ter wille van de Heere die getrouw is, de heilige Israël die u verkoren hebt. En dan de terugkeer. Wij gaan naar de terugkeer. En zo zegt de Heere, ten tijde des welbehagens heb ik u verhoord. En ten tijde des heils heb ik u geholpen. Ik zal u behoeden en u stellen tot een verbond voor het volk om het land weder te herstellen. Om verwoeste eigendommen weer tot een erfdeel te maken. Om tot de gevangenen te zeggen: gaat uit. Gaat uit tot die in de duisternis zijn, kom tevoorschijn. Aan de wegen zullen zij weiden, op alle kale heuvels zal hun weide zijn. Zij zullen hongeren, nog dorsten. Wees woestijn, woestijngloed, nog zonnesteek zal hen treffen, want hun ontfermer zal hun leiden en hen voeren aan waterbronnen. En ik zal al mijn bergen tot een weg maken en mijn leerbaan zullen opgehoogd worden. Zie, deze komen uit de verte, genen uit het noorden en het westen, weer anderen uit het land Sunem. Jubel gij hemelen en juich gij aarde, breek uit in gejubel, gij berken, want de Heere heeft zijn volk getroost en zich over zijn ellendigen ontferm. Maar Sion zegt: De Heere heeft mij verlaten en de Heere heeft mij vergeten. Kan ook een vrouw haar zuigeling vergeten, dat zij zich niet ontfermen zou over het kind van haar schoot? Al zouden zij die vergeten, toch vergeet ik u niet. Zie, ik heb u in mijn handpalmen gekrift. Uw muren zijn bestendig voor mij. Uw zonen snellen toe. Uw vernielers en uw verwoesters trekken van u weg. Hef uw ogen op naar rondom en zie hen allen. Zij vergaderden, zij komen tot u. Zo waar ik leef, luidt het woord des Heren, Gij zult hen allen aandoen als een sieraad en hen ontbinden zoals een bruid. Ombinden zoals een bruid. Want uw pijnhopen en uw verwoeste plaatsen en uw vernield land, voorwaar nu zult gij te eng zijn voor de bewoners en uw verdervers zullen verre zijn. Ook zullen de kinderen van welke gij beroofd waart, de uwen aanhoren zeggen, de plaats is mij te eng, maak mij ruimte, dat ik wonen kan, en gij zult bij uzelf zeggen, wie heeft mij deze gebaard, dat ik toch van kinderen beroofd en onvruchtbaar was, verbannen en verdreven, wie brak deze dan groot, zie ik was alleen overgebleven. Waar waren deze? En vers 22. Zo zegt de Heere, zie, ik zal mijn hand opheffen tot de volken en mijn banier omhoog heffen voor de naties. In hun armen zullen zij zonen brengen en uw dochters zullen op de schouders gedragen worden. En koningen zullen uw voedstervader zijn en hun vorstinnen, uw zoogsters, met het aangezicht der aarde zullen zij zich voor u neerbuigen. En het stof uw voeten zullen zij lekken. Dan zullen gij weten dat ik de Heere ben en dat zij die mij verwachten niet beschaamd worden. Kan aan een sterke de buit ontnomen? Kan aan een sterke de buit ontnomen worden? Of zullen de gevangenen van hem die in zijn recht is ontkomen? Maar zo zegt de Heere, toch worden de gevangenen aan een sterke ontkomen en ontkomt de buit van een geweldige. Ik zelf zal strijden tegen uw bestrijders en ik zelf zal uw zonen redden en ik zal uw verdrukkers hun eigen vlees doen eten en van hun eigen bloed zullen zij dronken worden als van jonge wijn. En al het levende zal weten dat ik de Heere, uw redder ben en uw verlosser, de machtige Jacobs. En hoofdstuk 50 zegt de Heere, waar toch is de scheidbrief uw moeder, waarmede ik haar verstoten heb? Of wie van mijn schuldeiser is het aan wie ik u verkocht heb? Zie, om uw ongerechtigheden zijt gij verkocht en om uw overtredingen is uw moeder verstoten. Waarom was er niemand toen ik kwam en antwoordde niemand toen ik riep? Is mijn hand dan werkelijk te kort om te verlossen? Of is er in mij geen kracht om te redden? Zie, door mijn dreigen leg ik de zee droog en maak ik rivieren tot een woestijn. Hun vis wordt stinken, omdat er geen water is en sterf van dorst. Ik kleed de hemelen in het zwart en geef hun een rouw gewaad tot bedekking. En derde profetie aangaande de knecht des Heren. En de Heere heeft gezegd, de Heere heeft mij als een leerling leren spreken om met het woord de moeder te kunnen ondersteunen. Hij wekt elke morgen, hij wekt mij het oor, opdat ik hore zoals leerlingen doen. De Heere heeft mij het oor geopend en ik ben niet weerspannig geweest. Ik ben niet teruggedeinsd. Mijn rug heb ik gegeven aan wie sloegen en mijn wangen aan wie mij de baard uittrokken. Mijn gelaat heb ik niet verborgen voor smadelijk speeksel, maar de Heere help mij. Daarom werd ik niet te schande. Daarom maakte ik mijn gelaat als keisteen, want ik wist dat ik niet beschaamd zou worden. Hij is nabij die mij recht verschaft. Wie wil mij met mij een rechtsgeding voeren, laten wij samen naar voren treden. Wie zal mijn tegenpartij in het gericht zijn? Hij naderde tot mij. Zie, de Heere, help mij. Wie zal mij dan schuldig verklaren? Zie, zij allen vergaan als een kleed. De mot zal ze verteren. Wie onder u vreest de Heere? Wie hoort naar de stem van zijn knecht? Wanneer hij in diepe duisternis wandelt, van licht beroofd, vertrouwen hij op de naam des Heeren en steunen op zijn God. Zie, gij allen die vuur ontsteekt, u met brandpijlen uitrust, gaat in de vlam van uw eigen vuur en onder de brandpijlen die gij aangestoken hebt van mijn hand, overkomt u dit en in pijn zult gij neerliggen. Maar hoort gij, hoort naar mij, gij die gerechtigheid najaagt, gij die de Heere zoekt, aanschouw de ros waaruit gij gehouwen zijt en de holte van de put waaruit gij gegraven zijt. Tot zover, lieve luisteraars. Ik heb voor u gelezen uit Jesaja, hoofdstuk 49 en hoofdstuk 50 en een beetje tot 2 van hoofdstuk 51. Dan wil ik u danken dat u hebt geluisterd en meegelezen. En de Heere zegene u allen met broeder Cor en zuster Marlene uit Sion. Want u bent niet onwankelbaar, maar u bent niet wankelbaar, maar u bent onwankelbaar. U zal niet wankelen, want de Heere is met u allen. Hij zal u niet begeven en hij zal u niet verlaten. Hij is uw redder. Hij is uw raadsman. Hij is uw heelmeester, want hij verlost en hij bevrijdt. En hij geneest, lieve luisteraar. Ik dank u nogmaals. De Heere zij met u allen. In Jezus' wonderbare naam. Halleluja. Amen.
Amen, zuster Emma. Dank u wel ook vannacht voor het mooi lezen. Voor de prachtige uitleg. En de Heere is u genadig.
Jawel, broeder Cor.
Wil niemand u afscheid?
Dank u wel. Groetjes aan zuster Marlene. Dank u, broeder
Cor. Tot morgen. Thank you.
you by Samuel Lee World Evangelism. Our goal is to reach the entire world with the gospel of Jesus Christ and to educate man with the universal principles of God and to co-partner with Christ in liberating man from all forms of evil and injustice. For more information on Dr. Samuel Lee's ministry, please visit www.slwe.net.
Say that, I love you in the name of Jesus. All right. Today I want to preach and teach to you. Can I?
Yes.
All right. Now, a few weeks ago, you remember I preached about 7 deadly religious sins. And it was one of the best sellers here. But today I want to preach about 7 deadly sins. What are the 7 deadly sins that human beings commit that ends to destruction and that ends to death? 7 deadly sins. That is the title of my message. And don't be confused with the message of a few weeks ago. As I said, I want to speak to you about 7 deadly sins human commit in this world. Whether you are a Christian, whether you are not Christian, whether you are Muslim or Buddhist, whatever. What is your background? There are 7 deadly sins that causes destruction in this world. Of course, there are many, many kind of sins. But today I want to speak about the 7 deadly sins. By the way, the list of the 7 deadly sins is not something that I have made it. It is made 2,000 years ago by the early church fathers, by the early fathers, apostolic fathers, and the early Catholic Church, and go on in Protestant. So it's not something that I have made it, but it is actually made 2,000 years ago by the early church fathers to train the newcomers, to give them, to teach them how to live a life worthy of Jesus Christ, a life that will lead them into blessing and not destruction. And that is why they made the 7 deadly sins. Sins, not only that you will go to hell, because I don't believe that every sin can be forgiven by God, because we believe in Jesus Christ. We believe by the grace of God we are saved, not by our deeds, but by the grace of God. But when we say 7 deadly sins, it means 7 sins that lead to destruction here on earth for your life. And it can even have consequences for your eternal life. But that is between God and you. But I believe that every sin is forgiven. So when I say 7 deadly sins, it has to do with this world and it has to do with our life today. So there is a list of these 7 sins. And in fact, to every sin, the early church fathers give also the name of a demon. But I'm not going to preach about that. I'm not going to preach demonology today, because that's a subject on its own. So number one, the first sin the church fathers called the deadly sin is the sin of lust. The sin of lust. What does lust mean? Lust means usually thought of an excessive thought or desire of sexual nature. Lust, the sin of lust. Lust has 2 departments. One is sexual lust, and the other one is what I call it luxurious lust. But later on, I will explain about that. But most of the lust is sexual lust, is a sexual lust. And if you remember, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 27 and 28. We have it on the screen. You don't need to open because we don't have much time. Jesus Christ said, "Have you ever heard in old times, thou shalt not commit adultery? But I say unto you that whoever looks at the woman with lust, after her, she has committed adultery." You have already committed adultery. Now, of course, there are many beautiful women or men, your eyes may fall. That's not what Jesus Christ is talking about. But what Jesus Christ is talking, when you look at a sister, a brother, with the evil heart, you are lusting after that person. That is one of the fatal sins that you can do, and it can lead into destruction. By the way, the biggest economy today in the world, don't be shocked, according to United Nations report, the biggest economy in the world, it has the highest income in the world, is sex industry. More than ever before, men are addicted to improper sex lifestyle. Women are addicted into improper sexual lifestyle. Can you understand that when you are looking at a person with lust, with the point of doing the most stupid things to get hold of that person, just like what David did, sneak around through the window of his house, saw Bathsheba bathing, he took Bathsheba, he killed her son, her husband, and made herself to be his. You see, one of the biggest problems in our world today is lust. Carnal lust. Carnal lust. Fornication is the biggest problem today. And there are many people who have problem with fornication. Who cannot hold with one woman, who cannot hold with one man. They have more than a boyfriend, more than many boyfriends, many girlfriends. They cannot be with one person. You see, this is a problem today in our society. And the early church fathers already said, Jesus Christ already said, that lust, the carnal lust, is destructive. A carnal lust is destructive. For example, in the sexual industry that now we have all around the world, in the internet, in the red light districts, and the men that are going and visiting them. Do you know that most of these women are abused, poor women that have been promised they're going to come to Europe to get a job, they're going to get a contract, but they end up in human trafficking. United Nations report says that the human slavery that is taking place in the past 10 years or so is bigger than the entire slave trade during the 1500s. Why? Because men and women are lustful. And this lust destroys not only the society, but it destroys the person who is after lust. Lust is one of the biggest destructive sins in this society. And it ends up with destruction. Of course, every sin God forgives. That's not what I'm talking about. But that doesn't mean that you sin and then go and ask God forgiveness and then go and sin. And you see, that's not what we are talking about. But the biggest, the number one in the list of the early church fathers, they call it a destructive, deadly sin, is the sin of lust. Longing for another man's wife. Longing for another man's husband, woman's husband. Longing for another man's children, wives. Can you understand? This is a sin. It destroys lives. It destroys society. It creates human trafficking. It destroys the world. Is somebody listening to me? Lust. Sexual sin. One man told me, Pastor, pray for me. When I turn left, I see naked. When I turn left, I see naked. It's true. Naked is everywhere. You are a human being. Your eyes can fall on naked. That's not what I'm talking about. But what are you doing with the naked? Are you planning? Are you going behind? Are you going behind those things? It's destructive. Most marriage problems are sexual problems. Is somebody listening to me? So, you know, when we are talking about, for example, one husband, he has a wife here and then he had one wife in New York. He had one wife in Paris. I'm not joking. He had one wife in this Berlin. So I asked him, brother, why do you have... You see, he said the territorial spirit is different. So when I am in New York, that's another life. So there I have my own wife. When I am in Berlin, is a different territory. Then I have another... So in every country that I have another wife. My friend, that is lust. God made man and woman, Adam and Eve. He didn't make Adam and Eve and Agnes... And Julia and the name, suddenly I forgot the names of the women, Sandra and all. One woman, one man. Don't say Solomon had many. No, Solomon had many wives. That's why he fell down with his head. Don't say Abraham. God never told Abraham to have many wives. He chose to have many wives. Please, I'm asking you, lust is very, very, very dangerous. It can destroy life. That's why the early church fathers, they call lust number one. Is somebody listening? The second deadly sin, they call it gluttony. Gluttony. What does gluttony mean? Overeating. Oh, you are looking at me. It's written in the Bible. Don't say, oh, pastor, you are now losing weight. That's why you're preaching it. No, I'm saying the serious. Gluttony is, according to the early church fathers, the second sin, deadly sin. It means overeating, waste of food. Waste of food. Overindulgence, overconsumption of anything to the point of waste. Some of us, we are eating ourselves to death. Hey, you say, pastor, you may say, pastor, what is your proof? I will prove to you. One of the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah was overeating. Our world today, like never before, there are people who are dying from hunger, and there are people in this part of the world that are overfat. Is somebody listening? More than ever before, we are consuming hamburgers, Burger Kings, McDonald's, like never before, we are consuming junk food. Whereby in the other part of the world, people are dying from hunger, and the Bible says this is a deadly sin. Gluttony, overeating. Some of us, sometimes when I look at even all of us in Europe, we throw food away. We cook food, it's over waste, we throw away. We like to eat and eat and eat and eat. Gluttony is a sin. For example, the lust to eat, the lust to have. One of them is Esau selling his birthright to Jacob. You remember that? It was a gluttony. Just on that moment, the soup is delicious. He sold everything. Just for that moment. People are overfat these days. People are, you know, eating more than they can. Almost 25% of the world population lives under the absolute poverty. Whereby we in Europe, we in America, we in the West, we have all the abundance. We are 80 times richer and fed than those in the poor countries. Is somebody listening? Gluttony. Gluttony is a sin. Is a deadly sin. Anything that goes to the point of waste. How many times we eat? Oh, it's overfull. Overfull. And we throw it away. For example, Esau selling his birthright. The other one is Israelites. You remember Israelites? In Exodus, in Numbers chapter 11, verse 4. Numbers 11, verse 4, it says, when Israelites escaping from Egypt, they complained, who shall give us the flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons, the leeks and the onions and the garlic. And they cried out to God, God, we want meat. And God threw meat. They eat so much meat, they vomit out of their noses. That is gluttony. Gluttony, not being happy with what you are eating. Some people, they always like to eat delicious, lekker, lekker. Some people, they always want to have meat in the food. If there is no meat, you say to your wife, ah, don't we have enough money? There is no meat inside. You say, pastor, how do you know that? I did it also. It's a sin. That's why I was overfat. In 1 month, I was 98 kilogram. Today, I am 87 kilogram. Today, 1 month now, I'm 87. Because you need to take care of your life. God will not come and give you health. You need to take care for yourself. Is somebody listening? Gluttony, overeating, eat this, eat that food. Another example in the Bible is in Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 49. It says, one of the sins of Sodom was gluttony. And this is the verse. Ezekiel 16, verse 49. Now, this was the sin of your sister Sodom. Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. Overfed and unconcerned. What does overfed mean? Do you know how many cows we are killing? Hello, can I talk today? Can I open my mouth today? Some of us, we are over-spiritualizing everything. Do you know why there is drought in Africa? Do you know why every year the sub-Saharan Africa become more desert and desert? Do you know why? Because of fast food industry. Because of fast food industry. They are cutting the bushes in Amazon for these companies like McDonald's, Burger King, and all other fast food companies. And they are planting soyas, or they are burning the bushes, and then they are doing lands for cattle that are going to be slaughtered. And because of that, it does not rain in Africa. Because of that, it does not rain, because the bushes in Amazon produced rain in Africa. But because of the fast food industry that some of us, we are, even myself, are chopping, that's why Africa is losing its green. And then we cry and say, it's the devil. No, it's not the devil. It's our lifestyle. Some people said, if the entire United States of America stop eating fast food for 1 week, the world environmentally will be 1 year ahead. Can you understand that? Gluttony. We are feeding ourselves. We are eating ourselves to death. Hamburger and fried chicken and whatever. I did it myself. Believe it. But let us stop gluttony. Let us not eat more than we can. Let us not put in this stomach. My friend, let me tell you something. The stomach is something. The more you give, the more he wants. The stomach is very, very arrogant. He doesn't listen to anybody. The more you give to his stomach, he will still say, give me, give me. Even if you don't give me, go kill somebody and give me. I don't care. I remember about one man. In fact, I was laughing. One man, in those days, you don't have microwave. This big man, he can be my father. Because he's so hungry, he took a frozen meat from this freeze, and with a knife he want to, my friend, that is frozen, and he cut the entire hand. They hospitalize him, he just because of food, you see, my friend. And after you eat the food, then you say, ah, why did I eat so much? Next time, no, let us start today. Let us bring discipline to our food life, because the food that you eat today is somebody's life somewhere else. The banana you eat, maybe it's from Colombia. The coffee you take is from Africa. People are working for that. And what do? We waste them. It's a sin. It's a sin. That's what the Bible says. It's a sodomic sin. We are overeating ourselves. Large cola. You know how much sugar is in one cola? Do you know? Maybe 20 or so. I don't know. 20 sugar. In the cola. What is wrong with water? In the beginning, God made Coca-Cola? No. God made water. Hey, gluttony. Gluttony leads to destruction. Why? Heart disease. More than ever before, in Western countries, people are dying from heart disease and head disease and, you know, all kind of fat kind of disease. Why? Because we are overeating. We are eating unhealthy food. We are eating bad food. God made you to care for your body. God made you to care for your person, your temple. And we need to care. Otherwise, we'll die earlier. Is somebody listening? So the first one is lust. Lust that leads to adultery and human trafficking and prostitution and name it. Gluttony, it leads to overfeeding ourselves, overfatting ourselves, and destroying even environment. That is what gluttony is. That's why God hates it. God dislikes it. Gluttony. Is somebody listening? Number three, deadly sin, the destructive sin, is greed. Greed. Greed is a sin. Greed is a sin. Greed means excessive desire to pursue wealth, status, and power. The desire to gain more wealth, more status, more power. Greed causes men to die. Greed causes men to steal. Greed causes men to cheat. Greed causes men to lie. Do you know that is greed? Now, don't get angry to me, but I'm going to say something. Do you know that our capitalist world today is based on greed? That is why we are collapsing. What does greed mean? Let the people work for you, but you give them less money and you make a lot of profit. That is what is happening. Is somebody listening? That is greed. To be greedy is destructive. That is why we don't pay enough the women who are working in India. We give them maybe, we let them make a shoe for a famous company. We sell the shoe here for 100 euro, but the wage of this woman is not even 1 euro a week. That's greed. But greed also means that you enjoy your life, you eat your food, you enjoy your happiness, whereby your own brother, your own sister is suffering. The end of that is destruction. The end of that is destruction. Having more. How many more you want to have? How many house more we want to have? How many shoes more we want to have? How many dress we want to have? How many bags we want to have? How many? My friend, if you have extra, give them to us. We send them to those who don't have. Hey, greed. Greed to have wealth. Greed to have status. Greed to have power. Greed causes men to steal. Greed causes men to even kill others. The book of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 27. Proverbs 15, verse 27 says, a greedy man brings trouble to his family. A greedy man brings trouble to his family. But he who hates bribes will live. He who hates bribe will live. But he who loves greediness will bring disaster to the family. It is true. How much? My friend, let me tell you something. Money is like a fish. It run away from your hand anytime you have it. I can guarantee you today, if you have 20,000 euro, you will be only happy for one day. Tomorrow you want 40,000. And if you have 40,000, then news will come, it's true. If you put this money in this business, your 40 will be 80. And because of that, you don't care what kind of business it is you put, and tomorrow you see even what you have is gone, then you will begin to cry, Pastor, pray for me, they cheat me. The devil did it. They did juju against me. No, my friend. Put wise investments in your life. I am telling you, if you have 1 million euro, you are still not happy. Because when you have 1 million euro, your desires are higher. Then you want to have the things that cost you 2 million. You are no more going to be happy with the Gucci shoe. No more. A guy who has a million, he will not wear a Gucci shoe. He will wear a crocodile, this 25,000, and I don't know, a 100,000 watch. You will never be happy. I guarantee you, if I give you money, you are only happy for 1 month. After 1 month, you are still crying. That's the life of a human being, greedy. We want to have more and more and more. But the Bible says, when you have more and more, you need to share with others. You need to share with others. There are people who need help here in this church from some of us who have. Not that we rent our room. Oh, don't open my mouth. The immigrants. We give one small room to somebody, and you know the price is 150 euro. You're asking already for 550. You see, we are in Europe, it's difficult, and the life is difficult. You don't have paper, and I give you for five. With 550, you can rent a house. And we are asking for it. Why? Because of greedy, because we want to have more money. I don't say don't make money. Everybody must make money. But the greed is bad. Greed is bad. To cheat a friend for greed or like that. So, number one is lust. Second is gluttony. Third is greed. Number four is a terminology. It's called sloth. And what is a sloth? It means so many things. It means laziness. It means indifference. It means ignorance. It means ignorance, indifference, and laziness. Most of the time, it has to do with work. It means disliking to work. Disliking to work. Many people, they want to get easy money. They don't want to sweat for it. Hello? Is somebody listening to me? That is a sloth. It's true. Let me do this. I get money easily. Let me buy this lottery. I get money easily. Let me do this. I'll get money. And you don't want to work hard. My friend, a man should work for his life. Look, I respect social welfare system. I think social welfare is only for those who are handicapped or those who are sick or cannot work. You should stop the social net. How do you call that? Social welfare system. Only for those who are really in need. But nowadays, people say, I ask the young people, what are you going to do after life, after your education? I don't know. I'm going to tell them I'm jobless and I'm going to get money and I'm going to put it every month in my money and I go holiday and this and that. That's why the government don't trust people anymore. My friend, a young man should work for his life. Even if it is cleaning, do it. Even if it's washing toilets, do it. Even if it's cleaning the street, do it. Because that is where you start. That is where we go high. We should not be ashamed of the work that we are doing. But we should eat the money that we are working for. But the society today is not like that. The society wants to get easy money. The society wants to cheat others to get money. Cheat government to get money. Cheat this to get money. But that is not what we Christians want. We Christians want to sweat for our money. Hey! Is somebody listening to me? You see, but the sloth does not mean only disliking to work, but it also means ignorance. It also means indifference. That is the sin of a sloth. What does it mean, indifference? You know somebody is in problem. You know your brother is in problem. You close your eyes and you don't see. That is what is our world today. Our world knows that people are suffering. We close our eyes. We don't know. We don't see. Ignorance, is a sin. Ignorance is a sin. Sloth means ignorance. Sloth means laziness. Laziness. Lazy people will never prosper in life. Somebody listening to me right now. Lazy people will never prosper in life. Lazy people want to sit and they want bread to come to their mouth and they want one angel feed them this side, one angel feed them this side. They want to relax. No, that is not life, my friend. Laziness leads to destruction. Laziness leads to death, my friend. You should do something, even if you don't get money for it. Not everything is with money, my friend. Not everything you can buy with money. Hey! Do something. Do something in your life. Don't be lazy. Even if you don't get salary, do something. Go in the street, do something. Begin to pray for the street. Begin to pray for neighborhood. Begin to intercede for the neighborhood. Do something. Look at your neighbor, say, do something. Hey, laziness. We don't want to read the Bible, we want the pastor to read for us. We don't want to live a Christian life, we are waiting for the pastor to do the Christian life for you. No. Laziness. Let me tell you something. I don't believe in organized church, but I believe in fellowship. The Bible says don't stop fellowshipping with one another. Some of us, we are lazy to fellowship with one another. Some of us are even lazy to go to church. Why? Today I don't feel nice. But if we say, come in the morning at 10 o'clock and we'll give you a job or we'll give you this money, you will see the people standing in the lines to come. They will come on time. Now, come on, is somebody listening to me? Sloth, laziness. We don't want to do anything and we want the blessing. It's not possible. People who are blessed, they work hard. People who are blessed, they do things. Not for the sake of money or fame. They do it for the sake of goodness. Sloth means laziness. in ignorance. Some of us, we are ignorant. I have my Dutch passport anyway. Who cares if Wilders or Milders come to power? It's not my problem. I have already mine. Whereby there are undocumented immigrants suffering on this moment. We don't do anything about them. It's true, the migrants coming in this country, they are like that. It's true. Maybe out of 10 migrants, 2 of them are criminals. But what about the 8? No, what about the 8? We are ignorant for social justice, for righteousness. We are ignorant. We close our eyes. We have to open our eyes. It's a deadly sin. Hello? Number 5. We have 2 more to go. Number 5. The number 5 deadly sin is uncontrolled anger. Uncontrolled anger. There is a difference between anger and uncontrolled anger. Everybody can be angry. That is normal. But this one is uncontrolled anger. The book of Ecclesiastes says, in chapter 7, verse 9 says, do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do you know what anger can do? Anger can cause disease and sickness in your body. Because when every person becomes angry, you produce a kind of hormones in your body that are destructive. That's why they made the research that anger, people who are easily angered, they are easily angry for everything. These people have a bigger chance to die earlier, to get cancerous disease and all kind of that. My friend, why are we so angry? At the end, we're all going to die. Why we are always irritated with everything that comes to us? Live life, relax, man. Look at your neighbor and say, relax. Uncontrolled anger. Just for nothing, we become angry. Somebody is driving the car slow and you are behind, you want to go faster, you are angry. Hey, this man, this, and you use even bad word. Why? Why are you angry if your husband is not in mood today? Why are you angry? I'm telling you, why? Anger causes sickness in your body. Anger is in the lap of fools. Fools get uncontrolled anger. I was a fool before, but I am no more a fool today. I know what is it to be a fool. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about myself. Before, I was a fool. I could get angry so, hey. I had a very, you know, long souls. If you tread on them, I'm angry already. Why? Why? You live only one time. Are you angry all the time? Angry to your wife, to your children, a stupid man, a stupid husband, this a stupid family of yours, this a stupid mother of yours, this uncle of yours. Why? You know, every time you are using that, you are killing yourself. You are destroying yourself. Put some smile on your face. Put some joy on your face. Are we not Christians? Are we not followers of Jesus Christ? We should have the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Uncontrolled anger. You know, uncontrolled anger can cause bitterness. Ephesians 4:31 said, get rid of bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Get rid of it. It's not in the hand of God. It's not in the hand of demon. It's in your own hand. Get rid of your anger. Anger is very destructive. Anger can kill you. Anger can cause heart attack, my friend. High blood pressure from anger. Hey, somebody listening to my teaching today. So that is number 5. Angry. All the time anger. Let me give you a story. I was in a very big crusade. A very big crusade. And they brought a woman who looked very angry and sad. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you think that she is demon possessed. So the people brought her to me and said, Pastor, and the husband was also standing there, Pastor, pray for this woman because she is a devil. I said, brother, sister, this woman is not a devil. This woman is angry. He said, Pastor, how can you say that? I said, no, this woman is angry. You know why? Because the husband that stands with her very holy and laughing, this husband is an adulterer. And nobody knows about it. Holy Spirit revealed to me because that is my gift. In this church, I cannot use that gift because I know you very well. Then you say, pastor knows already. That's why he's telling me. But in other countries, when I look at the person, I know. So I said, listen, this woman is not demon possessed. This woman is helped by her husband. Why? Because the husband commit adultery and he never told you, hey, the husband begin to shake and the woman begin to cry. She hugged me and wept bitterly. And I said to the woman, don't be angry. Release that husband. He needs deliverance and help, not you. You see, my friend, anger can cause depression, sadness, sorrow. Why? Why always angry? Some of our women, I'm sorry, not in the church, I'm in women in general. So don't say pastor said in the church. No, in general, women, you can become so angry to your husbands just for small things. You send him to go do the grocery, and in place of buying sweet onion, he buy bitter onion, you're already angry. You are punishing the poor guy. Why? Be happy that he bought it for you. Hey, by being angry, you are reducing your life. I'm sorry to say, and that's destructive.